this thing on, because it's getting ready to be on.
All right, guys, welcome to Bell Ringer. My name is Greg Pokrycki. I will be your host. So, I'm sorry about that. Today on the podcast, we have Ward Thomas, the CEO of Sentient Science. They're a past win of Invest Buffalo Niagara. Our business development director, Alan Rosenhock, worked with them. They are located in the Butler Mansion, a beautiful building, which we talk about, and they are really changing their industry and growing their market share. What they do is super interesting. I won't explain it because it won't make any sense to you. He does, so I will let him. He's the expert. So enjoy the episode. Thank you to Marquis Grant for the intro music, and I'll see you guys at the outro. All right, so thank you for coming to Bell Ringer. Thank you for being in the studio with us today.
Look forward to it. It's great to be continuing to support Invest Buffalo Niagara.
Awesome. So for those that don't know, what or who is Sentient Science?
Sure. Sentient was born out of the world's largest equipment operators' need to lower the cost of operations. So that was the Department of Defense of the United States. And they have given us $30 million of the $60 million in investment that Sentient has enjoyed from the Department of Defense, from myself, and of course our two investors, Toba Capital and Georgian Partners, our newest one based here locally in the greater Buffalo area called Toronto.
Okay, so you guys were in Idaho for how long before you moved to Buffalo, and what was the company like, or how was it different then compared to now?
Sure. We sequestered our team in Buffalo because, in Idaho Falls, because the most difficult engineering effort since decoding the human genome was decoding the material genome. DARPA, which is our country's defense agency that does the long shot, game-changing research. They put man on the moon. They did the internet and Sentient. We sequestered people away for 10 years, decoding molecules and materials based on dynamic load. And that invention, which we learned how to predict the life of equipment through failing to do that for 9 years, and in the 10th year, NASA validated that the technology worked. I mean, who could imagine to have, first of all, the Department of Defense invest $30 million, but how lucky we are that NASA was the one that validated that the technology worked. They had 30 years of data. We ran our predictions. We only had the information from 1980, and we statistically perfect for the 29 years beyond the 1980 data that we started with. We then went into a clinical validation with 20 of the world's largest companies, where they held their physical test data, just like NASA, behind their back. And we pressed a button, Dr. Nathan Bolander, our CTO, pressed a button in our simulator, and with one after another, perfect. Our component models are perfect. And we have commercialize the technology, not wanting to necessarily rush into aerospace is where we cut our teeth on the Black Hawk helicopter, the Apache. You know, these are long-term programs, but we wanted to go into an industry we didn't know, and could we very quickly take over market share in a market we knew nothing about. And we're very fortunate to have 1 in 10 wind turbines in the world, so we focused on wind energy. Renewable energy to lower the cost of operating a wind turbine below that of fossil fuel. So even Donald Trump, who we weren't going to talk about, could make an easy decision to choose wind energy because it's more cost effective than nuclear or any of the fossil fuel power generations. So that was just an overnight success. 3.5 years. If we don't make another sale and we just treat our customers real well, we'll go from 1 in 10, which is 20,000 wind turbines in the world, to 62,500. And based on the sales forecast, I would expect that we'll be over 50% market share by the end of this year or early next, so 2017 year end into 2018. That's, I have not seen growth of a business like that since the dot-com. Now we expect to do the same thing now moving into rail, and then circling back to our aerospace roots and doing the same thing with both military and commercial helicopters and ultimately fixed wing equipment, not only on their structures, but of course on the gas turbine engines that currently propel them.
So when you did find that key validation when you guys were based in Idaho and you decided you needed a new headquarters and started looking for new locations, what were some of the things the company was keeping in mind and was looking for in a new headquarters?
Sure. So because our value proposition was so quickly adopted, meaning we predicted a wind turbine gearbox would fail in 8 years, but we could make it last 30 years, that 22 years of additional life was the most important, these CEOs are telling me of these major operators around the world, that that's one of the most important initiatives they have, turbines for life, equipment for life. To deliver on that, Idaho Falls is a great place to be sequestered. I was living in California with my family, a wonderful place to live as long as you don't get on the freeway. And I, to be honest, growing up in the Toronto area as a kid, you know, my dad's American, my mom's Canadian, I never thought that I would be moving to Buffalo. But as we went and explored staying in California or moving to Indiana, near Purdue University, or coming here to Buffalo, being attracted by Invest Buffalo Niagara, once we came here and saw, and you really have to do that, you have to come here, you have to experience the young people, the energy, the renewal that's going on. But we call it, the instead of the Rust Belt, the Digital Rust Belt. And it couldn't, in the end, here I was signing on to, as I've said before in meetings with Invest Buffalo Niagara, you know, why start in a garage in California when you can start in a mansion in Buffalo? The cost of living here is so much lower than everywhere else. It's proximity to the airports, both here in Buffalo and Toronto. It's a perfect place to lower the cost of operations as you go commercial, as you start to, you know, to bring on salespeople, hire people, give them a wonderful community to live in. Doing that in California, the cost of living, the cost of paying people is so much greater. I would have been able to hire maybe 2/3 as many people as I could by having them here in Buffalo.
So after you focus in on Buffalo, then, as I understand it, you understood that you needed a, you know, like a unique space to attract people that wanted to work in Buffalo. It had to be about both the region and then the office space you picked. So how did you end up finding the Butler Mansion that you guys are in now, and why was that so important to you from a talent attraction side of things?
A great question. We have so much respect for the political university and commercial executives that helped us come here. Bob Brady from Moog, Senator Schumer, Kathy Hochul, Governor Cuomo, Mayor Brown, you know, these people have just were so supportive to make us excited about it. But really, it was Invest Niagara, Alan Rosenhock, that said, "Ward, based, you know, you're a cool software company with the latest technology. You and Satish Tripathi, the president of UB, are likely going to get along and have a vision match." So that through that relationship, which was very important to us, and the University of Buffalo is a key reason that we're here, and thanks to Invest Buffalo Niagara for providing those introductions. They have 14,000 processors that we use every day to run our simulations to extend the life of currently 20,000 pieces of equipment, and by 2020, 1 million pieces of equipment. So Alan Rosenhock said, we need to find you a cool place, and I said, okay, I'm open. And he went and he said, we left the building. You were located at a different location at that time. So we walked a few blocks over to the Butler Mansion. And I'm walking up saying, wow, this is a pretty cool place. It looks like an X-Men mansion, how great it is to attract smart young talents, as long as you don't realize the mutants exist all the way up to the CEO. But we'll keep that a little bit quiet. We put a sign out in front of the fountain with a helicopter landing pad pointing down, so there's even humor around the property. But here Alan goes up to the front door and without fear knocks on the door and says, what's this current status of the building? And of course, he could have gone through the 1 or 2 month process through the university to find out these details, but he took the bull by the horns, and this young lady came down, and actually that's another story, because Alan wasn't married at the time, and the girl was quite beautiful, and Alan was stumbling over his words to speak. He wasn't expecting that scene to happen, and I remember it quite fondly. But he was, he regained his composure, and asked, what's the status of the building? And she said, well, we're part of the university, but we're moving out, and there is no current plan for the property. And then within a few weeks, we had leases going back and forth. Within a month and a half, we were moving into the X-Men mansion of Buffalo.
So how has the reception been from employees that are working there and people that are interested in, or interviewing? What's people's impressions of the building now that you're in it?
I think we all have to pinch ourselves that we get to work in such an incredible facility that's on the campus, the bandwidth of the internet connection. We're stewards of a beautiful building that we work hard to make sure is taken care of every day. So we're so lucky, and I want to make sure that none of us take for granted how incredible the facility is. But for young people to come and work in an X-Men mansion, to have the beautiful landscaping, the fountain, the meeting rooms, and all integrated in with 14,000 processors just a couple of streets over. And, the pipe that we have between the processors and ourselves are just remarkably fast. So it's just a great environment for young programmers to really bring out the best of their talents, and hopefully these young people are joining us, and one day we're going to be reading about them being the next Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or, etc.
Right. So now you've been in Buffalo for how long? 3 or 4 years?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. So what's your experience been growing a company from a smaller startup company to the success that you have now, specifically in Buffalo?
So, so there's good and bad, right? Or there's great and there's okay. The great we've been talking about, the billions for Buffalo, the vision of our leaders, which happened many years before Sentient showed up. The investment is very clear. The cranes in the sky are a clear indication of Buffalo changing. I think the attitude of the people I've seen in just the 3.5 years, there was a lot of negativity in some of the older folks that, we'll believe it when we see it. And then the new people coming in, we're all full of energy. And so this energy is here, this young people, we have no fear, we can accomplish anything in Buffalo. So those are the good things, the cost of living, great place family, the educational investment that New York State has made into the number of universities in the area. It couldn't be better. Father Levesque just blew me away on how great Niagara University is, and we also bring people in from that university. So that infrastructure is fantastic.
As you've seen over the last 4 years with you being here, what parts of specifically the startup community are you encouraged by?
So you see examples like 43 North that's launched New York. Marty Levine's doing. I'm encouraged by the infrastructure that has been created, and then it's a snowball effect, right? I come here, I'm successful. That I advocate to other people that are in California, you should be coming to Buffalo. I also think that the Buffalo Invest Buffalo Niagara dollars should be spent in key regions of the country to attract people here to Buffalo, because I think most CEOs that are in California are facing the same thing I was. How am I going to beat my competition, that some may be in China, that have a lower cost of operating? So I'm certainly not going to do it in Silicon Valley because the cost of living is, you know, homes are $2-3 million for a startup home, where here it's $200,000-$300,000 to have a mansion, and that's incredible. So back to you.
Okay, so you guys are recently coming off of some pretty significant Series B funding. Can you talk a little bit about that success that you found?
Sure. So as I started the discussion with the $30 million of government investment into us, they didn't take any equity. So that really was our Series A. So if you follow that logic, we're really at our Series C. $30 million from Department of Defense, $7 million from TOA Capital. So that took us to a valuation of $28 million. So that was in 2015, October of 2015. And then, now 2 years later, having an investment valuation of just under $100 million from Georgian Partners, and they wrote us a check a few weeks ago, and it's nice to have it. $22 million sitting in our bank, which I'm anxious to invest into hiring a lot of great talent, both in the executives and a whole bunch of software programmers.
So you are going to be, like you said, you're going to be hiring, you're going to be adding to your team. I think it's around 70 people. Is that correct?
So 40 this year, if we can actually get that done, and then the remaining 30 early next year. Yes.
And then you guys have some critical hires that you'd like to get done, as I understand it, within the next month or so, right?
So the a CFO, a software CTO, slash VP of software development, and then just your standard salespeople are going to be required, but the programmers. You know, we need probably 2/3 of all our hiring over the next year are going to be software developers, full stack web guys, BAs, QA people, the full genre of software developers. And we want the best and brightest. We compete with Tesla for people that try to convince them to move to California. So far, competing with Elon Musk 2 out of 3 times now. We've been successful twice, and we've lost one, I hope temporarily. I hope that gentleman decides to come back and realizes the error of his ways. But it's cool to think that here's a company in Buffalo that is more attractive than people joining Elon Musk's company, and after the billions he spent promoting to get that incredible talent. And of course, I love what Tesla is doing, and a great supporter of electric automobiles. That's a small way to make an impact. Coming to Sentient, being employee 65, 66, 67, up to 130, every person that's coming in is going to make a far bigger impact on the environment, on lowering the cost of energy, so that we don't breathe carbon fuels in the air, and we make our environment perfect, and we live to achieve that 160-year design life as human beings by breathing a good air. The impact that these people can make is far greater at Sentient than these other cool companies that may initially sound attractive, because some people may not have heard of Sentient Science. But when they pull back the onion and realize the Hubble telescope is pointing correctly because of digital clone models around the Hubble telescope, and that we had to make the last shuttle mission, these are really cool programs that we've worked on in the past, and these young people are going to help change the world by lowering the cost of energy. Now, in addition to that, someone can join a company like Tesla at, I think they're like $60 billion valuation. And if they get to $100 billion or $120 billion valuation, they're going to double their stock price, double the wealth. So if for every share, if it goes up a doubling, they'll make a few dollars. But it's sentient. From in 2015, we grew by 2.6%. So 2.6x, almost 3x growth in our stock price. And we did it again this year. So we have this 3x growth number. So if someone had, to get to $1 million of wealth as a software programmer is achievable in three more years by being at Sentient as we go over, hopefully by 2020 with an IPO, that we're at a minimum of $1.3 billion in valuation, which would be a $1,300 stock, $1,300 stock price, or what our objective is to have a $10 billion valuation. So the not only can someone, where can you find a job that's the coolest company to work at, that you're actually making an impact better than any working anywhere in the world, and having a chance to become, work in an X-Men mansion and be a millionaire by the time the IPO happens, a Facebook moment, a Snapchat moment, a Microsoft moment, is what these people, if everyone works together and continues to achieve the run rate we're on, are going to enjoy that.
So at the beginning of the conversation, you alluded to eventually going back to what you guys cut your teeth on in aerospace. Is that what we can expect next from Sentient?
So two things. I guess three things. We're going to double down on our customers in wind. We have the largest operators of wind turbines in the world, and I have a personal relationship with each of those CEOs and vice presidents, and I have a personal commitment to them to continue to drive down their cost of energy. The PPAs, which are the revenue that a wind turbine gets from selling the energy, they're dropping. So they've, they dropped from $80 a megawatt hour down to 30. So that's, what markets can you imagine where your revenue per unit is dropping? You're trying to grow your business. So you have to really focus on your costs in order to make a profit at $30. So we're going to continue to double down there too. We're going to go, as you said, circle back into the aerospace market and help both our military and commercial customers reduce the cost per flight hour, helicopters, and then into fixed wing. Of course, in helicopters, a lot of gearboxes, a lot of rotating equipment. In the kind of the newest thing in gas turbine engines is to gear down a gas turbine engine so it lowers the cost of energy, polluting the earth more, and everything that we do, we're doing with that green thing in mind. And then, one of the areas that I talked to you earlier about all the clinical tests that we did 4 years ago, rail showed up as one of the areas that we could really lower the cost to move a ton down a mile of rail. And with that vision, we went to the world's largest freight operator, a $20 billion a year company. And we had our largest phase one in the fourth quarter of last year. And now we're moving to a phase two with them. And we want to then take that incredible success global. And fundamentally, if you think about it, our expertise in roller bearings is one of the competitive advantages that we enjoy. We know more about the life of a bearing than any company in the world. And, so those are our little wheels, little balls that go around a race. So it's very similar to a wheel going down a rail track. And it turns out that our fundamental physics in our software is a perfect match for the rail wheel interface, something in the 250 50 years of rail that's never been solved. And here comes a company, you know, completely out of a different market and is able to step in and immediately add value where in an area that has been frustrating the CEOs of the global rail, freight rail company. And then we'll look at, of course, passenger rail. And in a few years, you know, we've done hip implants and knee implants. And that is it's kind of unlimited in the areas in the IPO that we will move into additional markets. Pretty much every market that GE and Siemens are in today.
Okay, so now we have a blizzard round to end on for you. A couple fast, hard-hitting journalistic questions. If you were a flavor of ice cream, what would you be?
Of course, I would say chocolate because that's my favorite. But the speed of which ice cream melts is the speed of which sentient is growing from the value that we're adding our customers. It would lead me to think, ice cream provides a little bit of lubrication in your mouth, and it is a lubrication of the friction of a bearing that, again, we understand more than anything else. And the scoop of ice cream reminds me of the roller balls in a bearing that we've talked about. And that's something that we understand more than anyone in the world, and how that round ball at significant temperatures and speed melts as quickly as a scoop of ice cream. And obviously you wouldn't want that to be happening in your rotating equipment, and Sentient can help keep that ice cream from melting, so to speak, and extend the life of your equipment.
That was very well thought out. Great. Great pivot there.
Thank you for all the advance notice on the question.
What's your favorite number?
13.
Why is that?
You know, I'm not a superstition. I'm not a numerology person. Numerics are important to our business and our software, and there's a huge amount of numerics code. But for some reason, the number just keeps popping up in my career. So I made a fun of it with the staff, and it's a something nice to rally around. For example, in this last round of investment, the investment offer letter came in on the 13th of the month. It was closed, and we received a valuation 13 million less than 100 million. So again, these numbers just keep popping up, and it's a fun thing to kibitz about.
Right. Text or phone call?
You know, I'm guilty of the text now too. It's horrible. Nothing beats a phone call to a CEO, but when they give you their cell phone numbers and you begin to text to one another, it's efficient. And it's my go-to step. We communicate on Skype. We love the easy to use technology. I don't even know what a phone is. Like that's like some kind of ancient dinosaur technology.
Yeah. Bills or Sabres?
The Leafs.
Leafs. I'll cut that out. Hiking or skiing?
I love them both. I love the mountains. Skiing down in Ellicottville is just great. That's another thing that people don't think. You know, you're in California, you go up to Tahoe for the weekend and ski. You don't realize you're 45 minutes, an hour from the office. There's incredible East Coast skiing. There are places like Chautauqua Institute and Lake Chautauqua, just so beautiful. The Finger Lakes and, of course, Lake Erie. Just tremendous places to water ski or downhill ski.
And last one, chicken wings, drumstick or flat?
Well, I have to go with chicken wings because since they were invented here in Buffalo, and it's an argument over who has the original chicken wings, but it's nice to be in an environment where people are arguing over things like that. And there is a big difference between the different wings in the city. when we have people into our beautiful X-Men mansion and we have them sitting down for dinner at their incredible dining room table that's, I don't know, seats about 50 people or so. And the plates come out, the white gloves, and we serve chicken wings. it's a lot of fun, and people remember the visit from that.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for being on the podcast. I appreciate it.
And thanks to Invest Buffalo Niagara. You've been awesome to us.
All right. That was my conversation with Ward Thomas, CEO of Sentient Science. They're a really cool company. He's a really smart guy. I love their office space. We went to visit recently, and we got the whole tour and interviewed a bunch of employees. I wrote a blog about it that'll be linked in our embedded blog, or if you're on iTunes, just click over to your Twitter app really quick, and I will post the link there. As always, thank you to Marquis Grand for the intro music. Please go rate us on iTunes and check out some of our other platforms, but other than that, I think that's it. Yeah, that's all I can think of. So, end of podcast. Goodbye, guys. Thank you again.